The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you.
Among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. These approached Philip, who came from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they put this request to him. "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together went to tell Jesus. Jesus replied to them, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you most solemnly, unless a wheat grain falls on the ground and dies, it remains only a single grain. But if it dies, it yields a rich harvest. Anyone who loves their life loses it. Anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for the eternal life. If someone serves me, then they must follow me. Wherever I am, my servant will be there too. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor them. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this very reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." People standing by who heard this said it was a clap of thunder. Others said it was an angel speaking to him. Jesus answered, "It was not for my sake that this voice came, but for yours. Now sentence is being passed on this world. Now the prince of this world is to be overthrown. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself." By these words, he indicated the kind of death that he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. The hour of Jesus has been a theme that has punctuated the Gospel so far. As we transition from the Book of Signs, those six signs that we see across those first 11 chapters, and now into the Book of Glory. This hour has come. When Jesus changed the water into wine at the wedding at Cana, he said to Mary, "Woman, my hour has not yet come." And later he will say the same thing, "My hour is not yet here." And so he was able to slip through the crowds when the Jews came to arrest him. But now, in this random sequence, when some Greeks, some foreigners, turn up saying, "Sir," to Andrew, to Philip, "we want to see Jesus." And that's enough for Jesus to realize that now everything that he'd been preparing for, everything that he had longed for, everything that he already knew had been in the heart of the Father was finally being fulfilled. And as we will soon celebrate at the Last Supper, he will say that this is the moment when the old covenant, as wonderful as it was, will be superseded. And now there will be a new covenant poured out in the body and blood of Jesus. Our first reading is a beautiful testimony to that. Jeremiah, speaking from the depths of his own experience of God, is able to declare what God's intention is. There's a beautiful imagery that's used. God says, "When I led you from the slavery of Egypt, I held you by the hand." There's a tenderness that is present in the very desire of God. God longed to have a people. God longed to be in relationship, not to be a God who was simply feared and kept away at a distance, but a God of tenderness, a God who could be part of that nation and that family. So many times God will say, "And I will be their God, and you will be my people." And so in the words of Jeremiah, he says, in distinction to what has gone before, something new is happening, not like the old. He says this twice. This is something that is radically transforming. Other prophets, like Isaiah, will speak about just the sense of the new creation. The prophet Ezekiel will talk about the new heart that I will give. And we will hear it for those who are here on the Easter Vigil. The heart of stone will be taken away and the heart of flesh will be transformed. I will change the heart of stone into a heart of flesh. Here in Jeremiah, he uses a slightly different image. That this new covenant is going to be this transformation where I will write the very words of the covenant, not on stone, not externally, but every single believer will be able to know God directly. because I will write these words on your heart. You will know them in your mind. I love the Message translation of this. It says, from the dullest to the smartest, every single person will be capable of knowing God directly. And in the person of Jesus, that's precisely exactly what happened, that we're able to know God directly. Jeremiah says that in that time, we won't even need people to teach us because we will be able to know God directly. The presumption is, of course, that we will take time to meditate upon the law of the Lord. It's not just, we'll have this miraculous knowledge that will be directly infused within us. We'll still need to do the work. We'll still need to pray. We'll still need to take time each day to sit in our relationship with God, to get to know what God is like. But everyone will be capable of that. Every person will be able to know God directly, intimately, personally. One of the sadnesses that I have is that so often in the past, we believe that it was only the people at the front of the church, it was only the religious, it was only the priests, the brothers who were able to know God directly. Lay people was kind of infused knowledge that we had to deliver all this to you. And that's such a heresy, such a contradiction of the very words of Scripture. No, every single person is able to know God. Every single person is precious in the eyes of God. There is no hierarchy in the way of God. There's only sons and daughters. There's only people who are equally capable of that relationship and that friendship with God. And that's what Jesus brings. That's the difference that Jesus makes. That transforming power that allows us to know God directly. That's why we can celebrate this. That's why we can sing of the gift of this new covenant. That's why we're able to have hearts that are changed and transformed by the very presence of God. Because God is doing this. That's the difference. God is directly intervening in every person's life. It's always been there. It's always been part of the agenda. But now this transformation is happening among us. That's why we are a people of hope. That's why we can be a people who are able to be changed and transformed by God's very presence. So let's indeed pray for one another. Pray that our hearts will be changed. Pray that the word of God will be written on our hearts. That we will allow God to do that work through prayer, through our reading of Scripture, through that transformation that is capable of happening. There's still going to be roadblocks. There's still going to be people that, and unfortunately, often people within the church who will try and get in the way of that process and say, no, only we are the ones who are able to understand and interpret these things. And as we saw this week from the Vatican, this continuing desire to declare things that the Word of God doesn't say, the Word of God doesn't denounce. And yet they're able to make these declarations that just seem to be completely wrong. Let's indeed allow the Word of God directly to call us into life, to call us into that freedom, to call us into the hope that only God can offer.